Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We're your host, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing great today. How you doing, brother?
Always making it happen, big man. Today, we have a special edition of the show. Today, we're going to detail our growth as entrepreneurs and the different strategies that we've used to structure our personal, professional, and long-term visions. We're also going to challenge you. We're going to press you. We're going to go hard in the paint on your preconceived notions. So G-Daddy, let's kick this sucker off and let's start with belief structures of 10 years ago.
You said preconceived notions. I would say limiting beliefs is probably a better word there, but you say
okay, Tony
potato,
Robbins.
I say potato. The belief, let's go back to my journey because we're going to talk about what I was feeling, Jake, what you're feeling. And for anybody listening out there, this may resonate with you because when I started out, my belief was, you know, high tax structures, these estates, these trusts, whole life, real estate. It's only for the super wealthy. It's not for me. You know, in 2013, I had a restaurant, I had my home, and I had a 4-unit that I had bought years ago with my brother. So I was sort of like limiting beliefs as I can't get more than that. How am I going to do that? I'm a small person. I have a small little family restaurant, and I was living a life of scarcity, Jake.
Well, it's interesting because I met you, I think, in 2009, and you were the only business owner that I actually knew. So you're saying, well, I was in a bad spot. I thought I hit the pinnacle when I got the pharmaceutical job. I was making six figures, had a company car, but I was like never exposed to anyone that actually owned their own business. So when you're not exposed to it, you know, it's the same thing with kids in bad neighborhoods. They're growing up and their exposure is the local drug dealer. Well, I wasn't, you know, nearly that bad off, but I did not have experience to anyone that actually owned their own business. So it seemed like a pie in the sky. To me, that was a limiting belief, and it didn't seem very attainable. Getting the corporate job, getting the company car, that was really as high as my mindset was set to that could even conceive of happening. So it was pretty cool when we started networking together because you were networking with higher level people and you were the higher level person that I was networking with. So challenging those beliefs that could I ever really own a business at that point in my life, the answer was no for me. Mm-hmm. But exposure to you helped me get over that.
And Jake, as this is all going on in the background, I'm hearing messages from Wall Street. Put money into a 401k. Put money into a 529.
Had an IRA because I wanted to double down on the good, man. I'm going to retire with that 401k and an IRA because I'm not, you know, I'm putting in more than the 15. All right.
Buy term, invest the difference. Yep. That's all the things I'm hearing from Wall Street. But yep. Wall Street's all about Wall Street. It's not mm-hmm. about Main Street. It's not about Amen. The main person.
You need to put that on a shirt. Wall Street's all about Wall Street.
That's right. I'm telling you. Invest in the SNU. Or invest in the SME, not in the S&P. That's what Alex Hormozzi says. I love that. But the second one
is... Say that again. That went too fast. But what is it?
Invest in the SME, not the S&P.
And what's that stand for?
The S&P is the Standard & Poor's 500. Why you
No, what's the SME?
SME is me. Invest in myself. Invest in my education, bro.
The dollar in me? All right.
That's right. So. I grow. I need to grow it myself. Don't be putting money to anybody else. Invest in yourself because you're going to be... When you look at that, Jake, that's to me is profound. Because you're investing in yourself, you'll have that education, you'll have that growth to carry you through. And it's really a growth of personal growth. It's about contribution and it's about really getting back. It's about impacting others. But we're digressing from here because the second one I think is really important. The second stage we talk about is the trigger. And I want you to share the story. And you probably don't even this wasn't part of the whole script we're talking about, but as we're talking about this, this is truly important because there's one person in your life other than Gino who affected you, and he was a doctor in Carmel, New York, and that was your trigger, wasn't it? When you met him, you're like, he's different than everybody else. How is he doing this? How is he doing something he loves while everyone else is out there getting table scraps?
Yeah, no, Dr. Neshi. Dude, how could I forget Dr. Neshi? I mean, one of the best pieces of advice that I never took early on, this was a doctor that I was calling on, and you know, we'd have lunches and different presentations at dinner, but he was in a like side sort of way mentoring me because he saw that I had a you know, high ambition, high energy, and wanted more for myself. And I was always asking him about his journey and how he developed, and he said the first thing you need to do is buy a duplex when you first get out of school, live in one half and rent out the other. He said, I did it. My wife didn't love it, but it was the best move I ever made. Since then, I bought real estate all up and down the East Coast. So he was a doctor when the Sunshine Act started kicking in, and doctors started getting pushed out into medical groups. You know, this was kind of 07, 08 when the medical industry really started to change for the pharmaceutical companies and the physicians. All these other doctors were working more, becoming employees, selling their practices, joining groups, except for Dr. Neshi. He was good. He owned real estate. He volunteered more than any of the other doctors. He was busier than any of the other doctors, but doing his own thing. He was living life on his terms because he could, and he was a practicing physician by choice, not by demand, because he had all these different cars and houses and debt up to his ears. And I'm going to tell you, that's the story for most of these doctors out there. Debt out to their ass and really just having to work every day as a W-2 employee now to cover those bills, because coming out of medical school, you're supposed to have the BMW. You're supposed to have the million-dollar house. This guy was doing it differently. I doubt that he had any debt, and he did life on his own terms, and it really exposed me to the power of owning assets. That was a big inflection point in my life.
So everyone listening right now, we have a belief. Jake's belief is, I can't do this. I don't know anybody who's doing this kind of stuff. He meets me. Then he has the trigger. All of a sudden, that person, like a Dr. Neshwat, is saying that I've done it differently. I can mentor you. I want to help you out. The next one is the conflict. And all of a sudden, we're breaking the traditional thinking. For myself, it's all about, you know what? I want to stop diverting my money into 401ks. I want to put it into whole life because I want to really create an estate, some type of savings for my family when I pass away. I wasn't thinking about this earlier on, but I know my future self was going to earn assets and, you know, start investing in assets and creating my wealth there. So all of a sudden, that traditional thinking about saving for retirement, I'm going to put money into whole life. I started buying whole life, investing in the whole life policies. And what I also started doing was I stopped putting money in those 401ks, and I started buying multifamily real estate. I started doubling down, and I started investing in my education and thinking about saving for an asset to buy instead of saving for college or for retirement.
One of the interesting things that, you know, for Gino and myself was the wealthy people, you know, and this is probably going back to 2014 now, for us, all the different wealthy people that we were networking with, interviewing, doing different shows and things, very common, very common. They owned assets, most of them owned real estate, and they bought whole life and not term. And so I'm starting to say they don't really lean into this 401k heavily. They're not buying the term insurance. All this stuff that's being preached to us, they're doing it differently. So I started to challenge my beliefs. And that was at the point, that year exactly, was when I blew up my 401k, took the penalty and reinvested the money, and did the same thing with my IRA. Never looked back. One of the best decisions I ever made. I'm not telling anyone else to do that. I'm sharing my experience and what set me free on a path to be able to invest in real estate. That was huge. One more thing, Gino. The difference with these folks that we were networking with, their money worked for them, meaning that they owned assets and they had those assets work. They didn't believe that they needed to work harder to make more money. I believe the only way to make more money at that point in my life was I needed to work harder to produce more. These people were looking for opportunities to put their dollars into and make the money work hard for them, aka creating more baby money soldiers. Had to get that in there. Sorry.
And I love what you said. Write this down, everybody. Really, for me, it's an inflection point in my life as well. Are you working hard for your money, or is your money working hard for you? In the beginning, those first couple of years, I was working a lot harder for my money, but I wasn't spending it. I was saving it to be able to have it work harder for me. That's the inflection point. And for me, that was once we started doing that and I saw the results in that first deal we did, and we were able to refinance that money out. Once that money was working, all of a sudden we pull that money out for a refinance to be able to put it into the next deal. I made more money in that refinance than I did in a year of working at the restaurant. It was just mind-blowing to me. It was just an amazing shift.
You know the term muscle memory?
Yes.
Your brain starts to learn money muscle memory, okay? And it's called the refine rule. And you start to really get into some serious bench presses and curls with that stuff. So
the adaptation, all of a sudden your awareness is there. You're becoming more educated. You're surrounding yourself with even higher level people. You're going to events. You're talking about topics that you never thought about. You're reading books like the Rockefellers versus the Vanderbilts. I mean, I didn't think about this 5 or 6 or 10 years before this inflection point in my life, because I wasn't one of those people. But now that my limiting beliefs are shattered, now that I've had that trigger point where I've spoken to other people, now that I'm networking and I'm learning about this stuff and I'm actually investing in these assets, all of a sudden I'm adapting it and it's becoming part of my DNA. Like Jake said, that muscle memory, I'm creating my own
money muscle memory.
Money muscle memory. I'm thinking about the baby money soldiers. That's why I forgot the money. I've got my own little baby money soldiers. How am I deploying them? They're not going out and buying Lambos. They're going out and buying more deals.
That's the money muscle memory. Yes.
They're buying assets, and that's important. If you told me that 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been ready. Was not ready. But once I had that trigger and I had that belief and I had the adaptation right now, then I'm adopting to it and I'm raising my level of peer group, people that are surrounding me. And it really all started with Jake. When I met Jake and we started working together, our level was raised because we're both people who don't make excuses. We're both prepared. We're both committed to ourselves. I was sharing this in another podcast. They asked me what you like most about Jake. And my partner, Jake, gets on a call. He's never sick. He never makes excuses. He has his week planned out. He gets his job done and he never complains. And I want to be the same way he is. I want to bring that same kind of energy. I am not letting him down. He's not letting me down. And that's that part that we start adopting all of our habits like that. And we start growing as a team. And all of a sudden we start looking at it with our long-term vision and what we want to bring to the table and really be able to commit to ourselves.
Extended family, baby. I love you, Gino. Hey, and here's the other thing. When I think we were both going through it at the same time, as we're reading about the differences of the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts, what are we seeing? We're seeing how one family's legacy was carried throughout time and the others was squandered. And we're seeing this is an opportunity for us to raise our level of awareness, raise our game, our structure. And that's when Gino and I started working on trusts. We set ourselves up differently. We have holding company. We each have a holding company, excuse me. And we're looking at ways to use whole life as well to ensure that our family legacy is carried out over time. So when different members of our family tree, you know, they get some assets from the trust, then they have to replenish that with more whole life insurance, the same way the Rockefellers did to ensure the family legacy carries on and to ensure the long-termism of that trust. Because we put a shit ton of work in over the years and building this stuff up. And now it's time to preserve it and grow it over time. And that's how we're doing it. And we're following the examples of the Rockefellers and not the Vanderbilts.
And Jake, what is cool about it is we haven't changed as people, have we? We've just transformed. And this step right now is a transformation of Jake and Gino from mom and pop investors who had limiting mindsets, who had limiting beliefs to, you know, multifamily.
Padawan
investors.
To Jedi, baby.
And all of a sudden, if you talk to me about estate planning and holding companies 10 or 15 years ago, I wasn't ready for it. I mean, it's just not, but I wish I was. I wish I'd been at least open to it to say, this is my future self. This is what I want to become. And I think that's what part of the transformation is. You become your future self by saying, I want to aspire to these things. How do I do that? And we put in the work, we put in the reps. We've been clear, start with the end in mind. And we should have said that already, maybe a few minutes ago with the trigger. Think about what you want to become towards the end. What do you want to aspire to? And that's what you want your life to be transformed to. You're not changing your life. You're just transforming. You're being a better version of yourself.
Yeah. And the adjustment's not easy. I mean, it's taken a while to work through understanding exactly how the holding company operates, understanding how the personal property trust fits into the whole thing, understanding the different columns and buckets of estate plan and how you want to be structured. Man, I thought I got it. And then I'd have to go back to the group and say, okay, tell me again. Okay, I think I have it. And then I'd kind of write it all down. And then 2 weeks would go by before the next meeting. Wait, can you tell me again how this is exactly working? Wait a minute. Oh, that went on for months for me until we got this pinned down. And now it's buttoned up. We have it structured. And now the cool thing is that there's a process in place for how the money flows, how it works every month, very organized, very detailed, and it's easy. But it was hard until it got easy and you had to put in the work. So,
well, that's just like every other aspect of your life. Investing in real estate was hard until it got easier. Understanding assets was hard. Understanding the mindset was hard until it got easy. It's really, our buddy Julius Thomas talks about it. if you want to commit to something, you need to commit to it, but you have to understand there's sacrifices need to be made. And I think the sacrifice that you made was getting on those calls every 2 weeks, understanding the short-term pain for the long-term gain. And that's what this whole process, this whole story, this whole evolution that we've had, there's been a lot of learning lessons, a lot of pain, but we've always had our goal and our vision of what we wanted to become. And that belief was holding us back in the beginning. But as we had that trigger and that conflict and the adjustment, the transformation comes along, and all of a sudden, this is what you want. And I guess the last part about it is, it doesn't end just with that. It ends that you want to be an inspiration to other people. Jake always talks about learn, do, and teach. Well, we've learned the stuff, we're doing it, and now we're giving back or we're teaching others. And it's really, to me, a lot of fun to be able to do this, to have these podcasts and to share with people how, you know, how really unintelligent we were when we started out, how many mistakes we made.
A lot of growth since 2009, man.
And
a
if
lot
a
of
pizza
growth.
Guy and a drug rep can do it, anybody can do it. We just learned a few things. We just changed a few things in our path and our journey. We've surrounded ourselves with amazing partners, with amazing investors, with amazing students from the community, with amazing customers. And we've been able to learn from them, and we've been able to share it with others as well.
Well, I mean, over that period of time, Gino, if you look at it, we've created $250 million of current multifamily assets that we hold. There's structures in place to hold these for the long term in terms of the trusts and different cool things that we've done in our personal lives. There's the, you know, the long-termism when it comes to the whole life policies. There's the structures in place and the framework for our children and our children's children, which is really cool. There's also the stuff that we've done on the, you know, the food and the meals that we've given back to our local communities. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people being fed from the work of our RAND family of companies. That's pretty big. A lot of giving back in terms of education and sharing the things that we've learned, and really just, hey, we're out here doing it. We enjoy doing it, and it's fulfilling, and it gives us purpose. We don't have to. You know, but I think it's an amazing thing when you can elevate someone else, because look, we wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for other people and the coaching and the education that has been granted to us. So I feel a certain responsibility to make sure that we're sharing this knowledge, because wasn't learning in school, wasn't learning any of the peer groups that I was growing up with. So if we can help other folks out, I'm you know, very honored, and it's a pleasure to do it.
Jake, before you sign off, I just like to ask you a question. Isn't it the goal for us not only just to motivate people, because motivation is fleeting, it happens. Isn't it our goal really to inspire others to do what we're doing? Inspiration, someone told me the other day, was really coming from within. If you can get it from within, it's part of your being. I want everyone to be listening to this to say that, yes, I can do this. These two guys did it. How do they do it? Let me rip off and duplicate some of the stuff they did. We're just showing you what we did. We're not telling you what to do. And I think that's important. And we're here just to want to inspire others, because that's what our goal is. Our goal is, we're two family guys who want to make families really powerful. We want to empower the husband and the wife really to lead amazing lives, become financially free, and to really give it to the next little generation, to pass that on, to pass all these teachings on. And motivation, you know what? It dries up. But if you're inspired from within, if you have a big enough why, if you can figure that out, and then we can teach you some of the hows to do it. That's why we created Jake and Gino. That's why we have the 100-year real estate investor.
A very clear message for everybody on right now. Conformity is a problem. If you see everything that's going on in society and you listen to what you're supposed to do or society, nothing that's really had a positive or huge impact on my life is what society is telling me to do, okay? Get the W-2, get the 401k. That wasn't working. I blew all that up, and I don't follow any of that, okay? My personal life, you know, we homeschool all of our kids. We have a completely different structure, and it's one of the best moves that I've ever made. I think it's had such a positive impact on my kids and my family and the time that we get to share together. I'm in my home right now working. My kids are right over there. They have, you know, teachers that come in and work with them. And you may say, well, I can't do that right now. That's fine. Gino, you know, him and his wife actually taught all of their kids as they were growing up. So I think there's many layers to this. And I just challenge everybody out there. And I really, really believe this. Push back against these sacred cows and these conventional norms if it doesn't feel right. Because I believe in many instances, there's a better path. You're just not exposed to it yet. That's my two cents on it. And those types of moments in my life made the biggest impact. So
well said, my friend. I'm going to wrap this show up by saying, just go to the dualassetstrategy.com. Really, dualassetstrategy.com. Learn more about the 100-year real estate investor. Because if you're listening to the show, you know how important long-termism is. You know how important what your decisions you're making today are going to affect your kids and your grandkids. I'm Gino. He's Jake. And we are Jake and Gino.
Thanks, Gino. See you next time.
Thanks, guys.